Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed, I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I loved my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo of letting go of God.
And welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5. This is WOZO Radio 103.9 LP FM live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee on Wednesday, April 25th, 2018 at 7 o'clock. So if that's not the date and time what you're looking at, then you're probably listening to a podcast or a rebroadcast. Anyway, hang with us and we'll get into Atheist Talk Radio. And let's see, we usually have Wombat with us right now, but he had to work a little bit late. He'll join us probably at the turn at the bottom of the hour. But we'll carry on, as we always do, and talk about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, God's holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville or East Tennessee, well, that's just not true. There are several atheist and free-thinking rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville, and we'll be telling you how you can connect with them a little later on the show. Also, did you know that there was an atheist call-in television show broadcasting here in Knoxville? And there has been for almost 8 years now. You can actually tune into them right now if you've got your TV on. Just switch over to Comcast Channel 12, I believe it is, and you can catch Free Thought Forum on TV. Let me look at that, make sure that's the right channel. Yeah, Comcast Channel 12 or Charter Channel 192, or you can go to CTV Knox, that's CommunityTVKnox.org, and watch it streaming online if you want to. There's also a way that you can go to YouTube because some and watch our archives, because some fan has been recording them and putting them on YouTube. So there's several years of them out there on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and look for Free Thought Forum Knoxville, and you'll be able to find them. What else? Let's see. Oh, yeah, and if Steve Martin would have you think that there are no atheist songs, but there are several. You heard part of one as the intro. That was Julia Sweeney's intro track to her Letting Go of God play. That's one woman play that she's doing all around the country. Julia Sweeney has a really incredible play that if you don't have a chance to go to see it, you can at least go online and watch it or listen to the audio tracks. It's very well done. Let's see. Let's get to our topic, I guess. If you're a Christian, you'll often come to atheists and say, how do atheists find purpose in life without God? Well, I'm sorry, but if you're looking for an externally imposed purpose in living, or to living, an objective one, then there is no objective purpose to life. Life doesn't have a purpose. It has many, many purposes. You create them as you go along, and you can create as many as you want to and have several going at one time if you want to. Your purposes in life can be and do change many times over the course of your life, from being a good student, finding a caring, understanding, and supporting mate, to raising your children and funding their college education or your retirement or helping your community. Many, many more. As a child, your purpose is to play, enjoy childhood, and learn about the world and prepare yourself for your teen years. As a teen, your purpose is to get an education, to date, possibly find that life mate, learn adult skills, and prepare to become an adult that will be capable and of creating a home for yourself and fulfilling your life's dreams. As an adult, your purpose may be to pursue an academic career or a business one, or a fulfilling hobby, or three. I always have two or three hobbies going at once. Or just travel down the path of self-discovery. You might want to become a scientist or philosopher to help contribute to your body of knowledge to that which will be passed along to the generations that follow. Some say that their purpose in life is to discover their gifts and share them with others. Along the way, you may want to find a family of your own and take responsibility for the children that you want to bring into this world. Children whom you will help in developing their own purposes for living. When one looks at all the people who have ever lived and compare that to all the ones who could have lived but were never born, you can see that just in being born at all, you have beat some very impressive odds. Richard Dawkins would say, when you think of all the great artists, composers, teachers, humanitarians, and leaders that have ever lived, and then think about those who might have been even greater, but who never were born, you can see how great a gift your life is. Your parents have beat all the odds to have been born themselves. Then one day they met, and out of all the possible children that they could have had, they had you. They gave you the gift of life. Live your life to the fullest. Learn to teach, write, act, travel, experiment, help others, and discover. They are all good purposes. Think and decide which purposes are right for you. Can you think of anything more important to decide? It is much better to determine your own purpose in life than to have some church do it based on their own agenda. After all, is it really God deciding what you should do, or is it the preacher telling you what God wants you to do? In some more progressive churches, preachers may tell you that you must first find out what God wants you to do. But even then, during your search, your preacher will certainly be there to put a word in your ear about what it's correct and what's not. For instance, he should never encourage you to study all the other religions. For instance, he would never encourage you to study all the other religions, or even the other denominations, and pick one that best suits your needs. No, he wants you in his pew. The church would have you believe that the only valid purpose in life is to support and worship God through their church, of course. A man and his son are walking along the beach, which is strewn with starfish stranded on the sand from the last tide. Occasionally, the man would reach down and pick one up and throw it back into the waves so that it will live. His son said, "Dad, there are thousands of starfish on the beach. You can't possibly hope to make a difference by throwing a few back." The father bent down, picked up another one, threw it in the ocean, and said, "I made a difference to that one." You may want to help those less fortunate than you, but feel that you're not rich, important, influential enough to really help, or that no single person can make a difference. But you don't have to help them all. Just help the other person. One other person at a time, and that's a pretty good purpose to add to your list. Try to leave the world a better place than you found it, is another. And we're going to take a little musical break here and see what we got. See, for music we have, this is Symphony of Science. It's called Waves of Light, because we get a lot of our information about the universe through those waves of light. And it's by Symphony of Science, and here we go. We'll be back in just a few.
Why are we here? Where do we come from? These are the most enduring of questions. It's a story that we wouldn't be able to tell were it not for the one thing that connects us vividly to our vast cosmos. Light. Through light, we can stare back across the entire history of the universe and discover how it all began bears ancient beams of light and messages from the distant past, and they carry with them a story. The story, the origin of the universe. Gaze up into the night sky, capture the light, and read the story of the universe. Isn't it a wonderful thing? We are part of the universe. Isn't it a wonderful thing? The story of the universe is our story. The story of the universe is our story. Carried on waves of light. Wave after wave after wave of light. All colors of the rainbow, colors of the rainbow. Wave after wave of light. All colors of the rainbow, colors of the rainbow. Light can transport us to the past, and we have become virtual time travelers. Night falls, darker and darker, and the universe fades into view. Night falls, darker and darker, darker and darker. Stars being born in distant realms, alien worlds created by gravity, stars that shine with the light of a thousand suns, and vast swirling galaxies. These waves of light are messages from across the cosmos, and through them we have discovered the wonders of our galaxy, frozen in time. Gaze up into the night sky, capture the light, and read the story of the universe. Isn't it a wonderful thing? We are part of the universe. Isn't it a wonderful thing? The story of the universe is our story. The story of the universe is our story. Carried on waves of light. Wave after wave of light. All colors of the rainbow, colors of the rainbow. Wave after wave of light. All colors of the rainbow, colors of the rainbow. Billions and billions of suns shining in the sky. The story of the universe carried on waves of light. Gaze up into the night sky. Capture the light. And read the story of the universe.
Welcome back. I'm Doubter 5 on Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. This is WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM, live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. I can't tell you how many times people have called into the show or talked to me online and told me that Christian morals are founded in the Bible. And how can atheists be moral if they don't believe in the Bible? Well, first of all, human morals predate the Bible by thousands of years. They weren't invented with the Ten Commandments. It has always been against human values to be dishonest or to kill or harm your fellow man or steal his possessions. All societies, ancient and modern, have had to have these principles, else the society itself would not have long endured. Even animal societies have had to develop morals of some kind, and for the same reason, yet they don't have Bibles. Even the Golden Rule, claimed by many Christians as having originated with Jesus Christ, was invented in other forms millennia before he lived. Confucius lived about 500 years B.C., and he said, "One should not treat others in ways that one would not like to be treated." This sentiment is also present in Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, and Zoroastrianism, as well as most of the other world's languages. Simon Blackburn in 2001 states that the golden rule can be found in some form in almost every ethical tradition. If Christian morals are only found in the Bible, shouldn't they be shared by all Christians? However, even strong Catholics, Protestants, and Mormons, all self-proclaimed Christians, cannot agree amongst themselves on specific issues of morality like abortion or birth control, homosexuality or women's rights, etc. Even individuals of particular sects can't agree. Abortion is not specifically mentioned in the Bible and is not condoned or condemned there, but there's hardly a religion that has not taken a very strong stand on that issue. The Bible doesn't say anything for or against it, but the Christian right activists are still using it to justify killing doctors who work in women's health clinics. The sperm-slash-cell combination is not a child, it's a blastocyst. Has no brain, no heart, not even a nervous system with which to carry pain signals. It is just a collection of a few cells. Yet Christians claim that the Bible dictate against killing justifies them using violence to stop this form of family planning. That is, to actually kill and thus break an actual commandment in order to defend these, quote, children, end quote. What about the morality of teaching psychosis with clinical psychology? What about the morality of treating psychosis with clinical psychology? The biblical moral cure is exorcism. Those unfortunates are theoretically possessed by demons, and religious exorcisms are the only cure. Why are Christians split over that issue? Shouldn't they be united in demanding that mentally ill people be subjected to exorcism? However, they are not. And what about human cloning? There is no precedent at all for those in the Bible. Yet Christians are split on that subject too. Many claiming that the moral high ground is theirs and say that the Bible is a source of their morality on this. Really? Where does it say anything about human cloning? If the Bible is the source of all morality, it should be mentioned there. Did God not know that cloning was in the future? Now let's talk about the morals that actually are in the Bible, and no modern Christian actually follows today. I'm sure a lot of you cringed when I went there. Slavery. Before the Civil War, Southern preachers used the Bible to justify owning other humans as property. They claimed that God repeatedly commanded that slaves be taken and kept. How could it not be meant for us to do the same? Is God's word not eternal? What part of the Bible has changed since then to allow current Christians to ignore that example? Witch hunts. Another biblical dictate is to don't suffer a witch to live. It's also in that source of all morality. Why have we stopped finding and killing witches? What excuses do Christians have for allowing them to roam freely amongst us? Aren't they afraid? Don't they care about this biblical moral dictate? Restricting women's rights. Just about every chapter in the Bible, old and new, demonstrate that women are secondhand citizens. They should be silent in the church and should not be allowed power of any kind over man, according to the Bible. They are unclean when they menstruate or give birth, and they are unclean even longer if they give birth to a girl. According to biblical morality, should we not remove women's rights to votes and dictate that they cover up and stay at home? Never mind the Constitution, it's biblically moral. Even the much lauded commandment against killing is readily waived in the Bible in cases of homosexuality, unruly children, non-virgin brides, etc. Indeed, they are actually commanded to be killed. Why aren't modern Christians following those morals? There in the Bible, isn't the word of God everlasting? What gives? In the New Testament, Jesus not only taught that we should follow the old laws, but he laid down some pretty serious new ones too. Does any Christian use them as a moral guide today? No, not some of them. He wanted his followers to sell all their belongings and give the money to the poor. When was the last time you actually saw a Christian do that? And if they did, they would become one of the poor themselves. Not much of an improvement. Sounds like socialism. It might work if everyone did it, as in socialism, but I certainly don't see any major trends in that direction, especially among the religious right. Jesus also said to love your enemies. Not only is that an almost impossible job to do, is it really a good moral teaching or even good advice? If you actually accept and follow that morality, you'll end up playing the victim most of your life. The Bible is not a good book, and most of the morals found there are at best barbaric. Anyone who has actually read it knows that God can be a right bastard and his biblical chosen people not much better. An American founding father, Thomas Paine, in his Age of Reason, wrote one of the most scathing attacks on the Bible to date. Let me quote just one passage. Whenever we read in the obscene stories, the voluptuous debaucheries, the cruel and tortuous executions, the unrelenting vindictiveness with which more than half the Bible is filled, it would be more consistent that we call it the word of a demon rather than the word of God. It is the history of wickedness that has served to corrupt and brutalize humankind, and for my part, I sincerely detest it, as I detest everything that is cruel. That was Thomas Paine in his Age of Reason. Isaac Asimov says in the Christian Atheist Newsletter, Isaac Asimov says in the Canadian Atheist Newsletter in 1994, imagine the people who believe such things who are not ashamed to ignore totally all the patient findings of thinking minds through all the centuries since the Bible was written. And it is these ignorant people, the most uneducated, the most unimaginative, the most unthinking of among us, who would make themselves the guides and leaders of us all, who would force their feeble and childish beliefs upon us, who would invade our schools and libraries and home. I personally regret it bitterly. That was Isaac Asimov. The Bible does give us some very keen insight into the times of the ancient Middle East. It is a picture of epic adventure, love, grandeur, barbarism, cruelty, and magic. However, the morals depicted there are morals from that particular place and time in human history. It certainly does not represent the type of Bible that an omniscient God would be capable of. What I'd like to ask Christians is how you determine that it is valuable and right, and what is valuable and right in the Bible, and ignore those dictates that are abhorrent to you. Yes, this was a radio, Digital Free Thought Radio. May I have your name or nickname?
It's the Wombat!
Oh, not a lot. Let me turn that microphone on. Give me a sound check.
Sound check! Let's go!
Okay, that's good. I was just finishing up this article, and I'll be done in about, 10 seconds. I'd like to ask you Christians is how you determine what is valuable and right in the Bible and ignore those dictates that are important to you. Can it be that you use a morality that is separate from what you get from the Bible? If you're actually using the Bible as a moral guide, as you say, then everything in the Bible would be good and you would condone it all. Simple human empathy and compassion are better guides to societal fulfillment and individual happiness than all of the commandments in the world. They are better because they are situational and allow us to fit the actions to the demands of the moment. Different human situations require different moral solutions. Empathy, compassion, and reason will take us into a brighter and much more healthful future than you could ever have imagined by those living in 2,000 years ago. And that was from my article, How Can Atheists Be Moral Without Accepting Biblical Morals, on Digital Free Thought, the blog, at digitalfreethought.com, of course. So, welcome to the show. I'm going to have to take a break for station identification about 5 minutes.
But
we can get a little bit in before then. What are you bringing?
We're going to talk about a Facebook post that you presented about Ask an Atheist Day. Let's see what some of the responses you got and go over some of your answers.
see if I can bring that up. I'm going to play a song which will take us into the break, and then we'll have a clean half hour after that. How's that sound? That'll give me a chance to bring it up on the phone. I haven't got it there quite yet.
Exactly.
That's good. Okay. Let me see what I got here. Let's see. What if no one is watching? That's a good question. What if no one's watching? Let's hear what the song sounds like. Here we go. This is That was abrupt, but we're back. This is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM, live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is April 25th, 2018. And on the phone we have Wombat. Say hi, Wombat.
Hey, Wombat!
Well, yeah, you're plenty loud. Okay, so what we were going to do is, a couple of days ago, it was the National Ask an Atheist Day, and I put a post on my Facebook page for all friends and the public to put any questions that they wanted to on there, and I answered them as best I could. It was funny. The first one said, "What? I can't believe it. Is this real?" Which was the first one. And I said, "That was not a hard question. That's easy. Yes." And no, she said, "No, I was just joking. Have a great day. See you later." So, besides the other questions like, "Did you have a good day?" and why didn't you participate?
We also got a question that was asking you what your top 5 favorite books are, particularly related to that secular life. Can you take those and give me a reason to each one?
Yeah.
What can you read about? I don't know what's not on the list. Anyway, go for it.
Okay, I think I'm going to have you call him my other one. Can you back away from the phone a little bit?
Oh, am I too loud? Can you hear me right now?
You're overdriving it. Try it again. That's a little better. Okay.
Any better? How about this? Is this even better?
A little better. Let me turn down the volume on the phone. That may do it. Okay, try it again.
Okay. Hey, can you hear me right now?
Yeah, that's better. Much better.
Cool. So okay. I was asking you, you had made a list on Facebook of your top 5 books. Someone asked you what those 5 good reading materials for Ask an Atheist Day. What was your recommendation?
On top 5 books?
Yeah.
I think I made a list of them on there, but I guess one of the ones that I really recommend is The Demon Haunted World by Carl Sagan. That's one of the ones that I was reading about the time I came out of the closet as atheist. I'd been in the atheist closet for 30 years, from the 1973 till about 2002. And it really does a good job of outlining the real problems that religion brings to society, no matter what society they're in. And by the time I put that book down, I was ready to start speaking out against religion. I really didn't know that much about all the problems of religion. I thought it was silly. I thought it, you know, there was not much truth in it, but people seemed to really like it and really need it. So, you know, 30 years I kept quiet. But it was about that same time, too, that 9/11 happened. You know, religious people flying planes into our building, killing thousands of Americans. And
right.
It just, that and several other things conspired to make me come out and speak out. And I've been doing it ever since. The Atheist Society of Knoxville, which I started back in 2001, I guess it was, now has over 800 people in it. And I'm very proud of that. And it's going strong. I've passed the wand to a very capable young lady, and she's taking it forward. You know that she's actually going to get a 501c3 going on that, a nonprofit.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. As far as other books, The God Is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything by Christopher Hitchens is an excellent read. Of course, you got to mention The God Delusion by Richard Dawkins. It's a good book. But one of the ones that I think most Christians would get most out of is Dan Barker's Losing Faith in Faith. And, I mean, he was a preacher. He was a young preacher who went down into Mexico and all over Southern California preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he taught so many different people in different sects and talked to so many other preachers that he realized that, you know, it's not the same message. Different sects have different messages, and they allow that to go on, even though it differs from what the Bible says. And he got to looking at it more and more and more, doing more research in it to be a better preacher, and then he realized he could not justify believing some of the claims that are in there, and it really woke him up. He now leads the Freedom From Religion Foundation, he and his wife does, in Madison, Wisconsin. It's a national organization for the separation of church and state, and they're very active in trying to keep religion out of government. So, Losing Faith in Faith. There's also, and I'm going to kill myself for not remembering this name, but there's a local author who lives in Merrillville. I don't know his name offhand, but I can give you the title of his book, and it's called The God Who Doesn't. And he goes into a lot of things what the God is supposed to do but doesn't. And he's a mathematician, so he really goes into probability theory about how, you know, how likely a God is. And I found it a very interesting read. I got a lot of good quotes out of it. I got a lot of concepts out of it that I hadn't seen before. So I recommend that to, like, atheists who are studying anti-Christian apologetics. Of course, I have to mention my own book.
Yeah, I was about to say.
It's Atheism, What's It All About? And you can find that on Amazon.
I have a really good book I'd like to recommend as well.
Say what?
Atheism for Dummies. It's part of the Dummies for Dummies series. Uh-huh. It's a really good read from beginning to the end.
Okay.
It does a really good job of encapsulating what atheism is all about.
You're getting a little close to the mic again, and I'm overdriving it.
All right. Atheism for Dummies is the book I would recommend.
Oh, yeah, it's very good. Yeah.
It's Atheism for Dummies, part of the Four Dummies series.
Mm-hmm.
It does a really good job from the beginning to the very end of just breaking down in exact but simple terms what atheism is all about, what the aims are, what the positions are, and typical responses that we have to pretty general questions that you're really doing a good job of reflecting the idea, the mindset, where morals come from, all the different questions that atheists get on, say, Ask an Atheist Day.
Yeah, for sure. And I highly recommend it. Sorry about the beeping, folks. That's me trying to turn up and turn down the volume on the phone to get these levels correct. And it's just what the phone does. I'd like to turn it off, but I can't. Excuse me. The author of that book, Atheism for Dummies. Hold on a second. Somebody at the door. Oh. This is live radio.
Yay. Live radio, guys.
That's right. Okay. Anyway. The guy who wrote the book Atheism for Dummies was at our RET annual speaker event. Matter of fact, he was the speaker. Wish I could remember his name. You remember his name, the author?
No, I don't. But still, that's really, really cool.
Yeah.
I remember sticking with that book for a long time. And what helped me was there was something that I was really frustrated about with regards to trying to get a good book on just, this is what atheism is, this is what it's all about. I wish I had new kind of book, but it's nice to just see a really popular book and a popular series do a really good job of just condensing something that I thought no one really understood. But lo and behold, it took another atheist to like really express it in a really friendly way.
Really? Yeah, I agree too. It was a lot of things in there that I really hadn't thought of, but it's a whole book. I thought a lot. But there are some things, and of course, that's one of the reasons I read them, to find new nuggets in there that I can pass on. By the way, I wanted to hit on this one. We have our annual RET public lecture, like this guy showed up and did a talk on his book. It's the most dangerous woman in Tennessee is coming to Knoxville. Anyway, that's the opinion of the Lieutenant Governor of Tennessee. Gail Jordan, the Director of Recovering from Religion and recent candidate for the Tennessee Senate in District 14, will speak. She was the one labeled as Tennessee's most dangerous woman by the Lieutenant Governor. And the lecture will take place this Sunday at the Goins Auditorium at the Pellissippi State Campus, and it will start around, I guess, noon or 1 o'clock. I don't see a time here. But, 2 p.m., Sunday, April 29th. So go see that. That should be a very interesting lecture by the Director of Recovering from Religion, and National Director. Okay.
If you have some other interesting questions on your Facebook, I'd like to go through some other ones that stand out. One of them was from a guy who was asking me, do you think aliens have ever visited our planet?
Oh, well, I think what I told him was, if life arose here on planet Earth, and it was, and as I believe, it was an entirely natural occurrence, then there's no reason we to believe that it couldn't also happen on any other planet that has similar conditions, or even some that may be a little bit farther out of the Goldilocks zone. Some life as arose here on Earth at the bottom of the ocean, where it's the pressure is incredible and the temperatures are way down there, but they get their heat and energy from thermal vents that come out of the ocean floor. And if that type of life can arise without sunshine, there's no reason to believe that it couldn't arise also in something like one of Saturn's moons, you know, who has a lot of water and but no sunshine, but they have thermal vents, I would think, because of, you know, they would have thermal volcanic action underneath the surface of the ocean. Anyway, I don't believe we've ever been visited. I think that was the next part of that question that they asked me.
Yep.
Because I don't have any evidence, and the time to withhold belief is now, and until evidence presents itself, I think I'm justified in withholding belief in that.
And by withholding belief, are you saying that you don't know, or are you saying that there's not enough evidence or to support you believing in it, that
right.
It's possible?
Well, you're talking about two things now. You're talking about knowledge and you're talking about belief. That's like atheism and agnosticism. I would say that I'm agnostic on the question of whether or not there's alien visitation in our history. And I'm also an atheist about that visitation because there is no knowledge or evidence about it. So I'd say I don't know and I don't believe it.
Okay. When would be the point where you'd be convinced that aliens have actually visited our planet?
Right.
Like, there are experts who claim to be poor. There are people out there who claim that it happened. There are people who had abduction stories. There's, you know, photographic evidence of, you know, blurry things in the skies. We have videos. Like, when are you going to be convinced, if ever?
Me? Oh, I would be convinced if, like, the government ever came out and said, yeah, okay, Area 51, we caught people, here's the evidence, and presented it to a scientific international panel for scrutiny and examination. You know, something like that, something that has teeth to it, rather than some guy who writes a book, fills it full of claims, and never produces anything for an actual scientist to take a look at. I remember that one. Well, I told him that I didn't care much about putting atheists into different boxes. If you don't believe in God, that's one answer to one question. I mean, that's basically it. There are whole religions out there that are atheistic religions, like Buddhism. Buddha's not a god. So if you're a Buddhist, you don't believe that Buddha was a god, so you just believe in the other supernatural things of the religion. Some do and some don't, but I mean, there's all kinds of different atheists out there. We can agree on one question or one answer to one question, but then disagree on everything after that. Personally, I guess it could fall into two groups. There's agnostic atheists and Gnostic atheists. Gnostics claim they know there's no God, but I don't like to do that because then you got to prove it, just like a Christian does, or a Gnostic Christian or a Gnostic Islamist Muslim. Once you make a positive claim, it's up to you. The burden of proof is on you to provide evidence for that claim. However, if somebody makes a claim and you say, I don't believe it, you have no burden of proof. And that's me. I don't believe that there's a God. I'm not saying there aren't any somewhere. You know, there might be one in a galaxy three over or something. But until I see evidence, I don't believe it, but I don't claim knowledge about it. What about you? You know, you can answer some of these questions as well. Would you like to handle that one?
Sure. I mean, normally I'd say the unifying thing among all atheists is that they don't believe in a God. But just how there's a lot of different theists who are people who believe in a God, and there's different kinds of theists in that sense, where you could have, you know, theists that believe in Krishna, theists that believe in Vishnu, theists that believe in Allah. So,
right.
You can also have atheists that don't believe in a God with That's extreme. And there are also extreme atheists as well. But then you also have theists that, you know, think it's really good to share in the goodness of humanity and do what we can to help each other out. And there are atheists who think the same as well. You have atheists that like video games. You have atheists that don't like video games. You have atheists that treat women well and some that don't. But the unifying thing among all atheists is that this core concept of they don't believe in a God. And that includes certain religions, as you said, and some don't. So it's not too hard to put them in a box. The box is, do you believe in a God or not? Other than that, you're dealing with people, and because the question is so specific, you're really going to get a variety of different people that fit inside that category. And I think the same could be said for theists. We just need to be aware of the fact that we're people, and we're going to have differences among ourselves because we're pretty much individuals working together trying to figure out this weird thing we call life. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. No, I agree.
All right. Here's my next question.
Okay. Answer there in front of us, so I'll just answer off the top of my head. But yeah, I agree. We should not force anybody to believe anything. However, seeing the problems and the harm that religion does around the world, especially to children who have no choice in the matter, who are forced to believe the things that their parents tell them to believe without question, and even questioning itself is considered a sin. There, you have to be able to talk against it. You have to be able to express your problem with it. It's free speech, and I think that we need a debate. We need a debate on that topic, and we need to be able to give our side. For many years, for hundreds of years, literally hundreds of years across Europe and in America, we were literally not allowed to talk about it. If you had doubts, you had to keep them to yourself. There were like 300 years of the Spanish Inquisition, and Spanish wasn't the only Inquisition. It was literally several of them happening at the same time. And if you expressed disbelief in the deity, especially, you know, their deity, they could, one, take you and put you in prison, take away all of your property, give it to your neighbor, especially the neighbor who informed on you, who said that they saw you dancing in the moonlight with the devil, let's say. If they went to the church and told the church that, the church would come to you, take your property, throw you in jail, and or burn you at the stake. There was no dissent at that point, and that is when you have 100% inclusion of the church into the state, where the state controls your body and your freedom, and the church controls your mind. You have really no choice in the matter. It's total dictatorship, which is one of the reasons I want to keep church out of the state, out of the government.
I think what you said was really poignant in the sense of we shouldn't force anyone to believe anything. And
right,
if you have that, then give people the tools they need to be able to discern maybe like good beliefs from bad beliefs. And then see what rises to the top. And I think what you would end up with is a system where people care about what they believe to be true more than believing things that they were taught to believe and being convinced that those things were true. Uh-huh. And if everyone like had a skeptical attitude, I think maybe the best ideas would float to the top. And if it wasn't atheism, that'd be cool. But the thing is, the atheist position isn't one necessarily based on advocating a belief. It's more of just a recognition that I don't know is a good answer to certain things until you have good evidence to support it. And that's actually a really good way to start learning about something to believe in it. And when you think about it, even people who are religious start from a position of atheism in the sense of you're not born into a religion. You're born to as a regular person, as a blank slate for the most part, and then convinced that something is true later on. And I don't know, and I'm going to wait until I have better evidence. And we worked on getting good evidence. We may have much better answers that might even point to the God that certain people believe in.
Right.
Rather than being forced into this situation where you're believing in the God that's geocentric or the one that your parents believe that's
right.
given to you through a traditional means.
Yeah. And getting back to the Spanish Inquisition, you would think that if there was evidence, as the church always says, yeah, we got evidence of God, you know, and his teachings and all that stuff. But if there was good evidence, instead of dragging people in and torturing them and making them say they convert and say that they believe, they would just bring them in, show them the evidence for God, make them a believer that way, convince them that God is real, rather than either torture them or kill them if they don't convert.
Right.
That in itself is an admission of lack of evidence.
So there are other websites that do this Ask an Atheist thing. I want to go outside of your Facebook page and pull up something called Reddit.com. Reddit.com is like one of the very most popular websites on the internet. This is subreddit. It's basically a subgroup or subcommunity, like a sub Facebook group that asks. That is basically a 24/7 Ask an Atheist post. And the current top post on the subreddit for Ask an Atheist is, why is there resistance to doing research?
Why what?
The question that's given is, there appears to be a lot of atheists who support atheists or secular-based scientists, but they always discredit Christian science. And it doesn't seem to make sense that they would discredit or laud one and discredit the other. Why is it that atheists only accept science from people who already agree with atheism? Why don't they look at Christian science?
Well, generally, if the science is good science, it will stand. I mean, like, look at Michael Behe. He's a good scientist. He produces good information and then he puts it in credible scientific journals. However, one of the guys he mentioned in the questions here was Ken Hovind, saying, you know, Ken Hovind is a evolutionary scientist. Why don't you listen to him? Well, the thing about Ken Hovind was he purchased his PhD online. Quote, educational association. And if you look it up, it's like a house, you know, on a hill. You know, just, that's it. It's just like, it looks like a trailer. It's a one-story trailer. And, you can actually find his PhD thesis online and read it. And it's ludicrous. It's stupid. I have to put it in those words. Anyway, so why would we give credit to anything he says, much less if he doesn't actually produce any science. What he produces are claims saying evolution is wrong and bad. You know, so he says, I'm an evolutionary scientist. I taught science in high school. Yeah, bull. Maybe he got a job teaching science in high school after he got his bogus PhD, but you can be sure that he wasn't actually teaching any science because I've seen his videos and they're not. You know that he just got through spending about, I don't know, 16 years in prison for tax evasion?
No idea.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, his defense was, no, I didn't. I didn't evade taxes. When you can actually go online and buy some of his tapes that tell you how to do it. He didn't have a leg to stand on, but now people are still, he's back out of prison, people are rallying around him. It's just hard to believe.
But that is the thing. There is like a lot of people who promote Christian science. There are people who go out there and they try to find, you know, things that other scientists would find, but they do it under the moniker of Christian science, where they publish in Christian journals. There's definitely the more extreme version where they go out and try to find demonstrative evidence of like Noah's Ark or the scrolls of Jesus or like something that was biblical in nature. But it seems like atheists approach Christian science with more skepticism than they would secular science. And does that indicate a bias? And if so, is that bias positive, negative? Is it justified? That's the question.
Well, I think that if it conflicts with established and ongoing credible science, you have to ask, really? You know, is that right? Why aren't these other scientists looking at that and telling me whether or not that it's, I mean, telling me that it's bad science. And also you got to realize a lot of it is not science. It's just claims. It's claims that evolution doesn't work for this reason or that reason or whatever, when they don't really know the science themselves. They're just making claims. When you think about it, the Bible is just a book of claims without any evidence. They're stories.
Is there any scientific articles right now that claim that a God does not exist? Or would that be an example of an atheist science?
Science doesn't get into that question at all because it's a supernatural question.
I think that's a better point. I think that's the fundamental article response.
Yeah, science deals with nature.
There's no science that says that a God exists. So, like, the idea that Christian science exists, where it's like science, but it also placates the idea that a Christian God exists, doesn't seem like it has any foundation because there's no scientific God detector. It doesn't exist.
Right.
You can't buy it on Amazon. So, Christian science does not imply that there is a Christian God. It's just whether or not it's science will determine on whether or not the tests that are done are testable, reliable, and demonstrable. And it has nothing to do with whatever religion it comes from. It's just a factor of, hey, this is a good test that we have for the natural world. We can't test for God, the existence of God. Science has no opinion on the existence of God. We're just going to try to do the best we can with our observations and theory crafting. And we'll make the best models that we can to explain the reality that we apparently live in.
Right.
And we won't pick sides. There's not an atheist science. There's not a Christian science. There's not a Hindu science. There's just science.
Right.
And it's secular by virtue of the fact that it can't detect deities. So it is not circular by choice or preference or by bias. It's secular by the fact of it's the only thing that it, by virtue of the inability to detect for gods for now. And maybe in the future there would be. And if that's the case, then that would become science. But it's not there yet. And that's why there's more indications of trusting science that comes from secular point of views, the ones that claim to have points of views on things that science isn't capable of proving in the first place.
Right, right. Well, we've got about 2 minutes left. Any final thoughts before we go?
Yeah, I got one last quick question. This question comes from a guy who's asked, if atheists were presented with a God button, would they press it?
Give me that question. You're getting kind of loud there, and you're overdriving the speaker. Can you tell me what the question was again?
Sure. The final question is, if atheists were presented with a God button, would they press it?
A God what?
A God button.
Question?
A button. B-U-T-T-O-N. Button.
I'm sorry, I'm not picking that word up. Every time you say it, it overdrives the speaker, and I'm just having...
Sorry. B-U-T-T-O-N. Button. Oh, well.
Spell it one more time, but lower your voice, if you will.
Sure. Would atheists press a God button?
Do you know what he's saying?
Like a switch, a God switch.
Bridge?
Switch. Or a lever. A God lever.
I'm sorry, it's just the speaker is not allowing me to hear that. I've got somebody else here too, and he can't hear it. He can't understand it.
We've
run out of time. I'm sorry. This is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. It's the top of the hour, and last words, if we can hear them.
Have a good week.
Yeah, have a good week. I heard that. And you too. We'll be back next week, next Wednesday at 7:00. This is Doubter 5 saying, don't sweat the afterlife because, you know, everybody's going to somebody else's hell. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.